All right. My topic tonight is pride. I figured, well, you know, if the world celebrate pride, we might as well see what the Bible says about pride. So let's turn to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. I didn't know how nervous you can get until somebody pointed out that you're nervous. And I didn't know my hands would sweat so much, but I was scared to pick that cup up there. I thought I was going to drop it. But James chapter 1, this is just some introductory thoughts before we get into the message tonight. But James chapter number 1, if you will get with that, 1 Kings chapter number 3. James 1 and 1 Kings chapter 3. James 1, verse number 5, says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Now turn over to 1 Kings 3, verse number 5. The Bible says, "In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And the Lord, and God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." You don't have to turn there, but Matthew 12:42 says this: "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Amen. The one who wrote about pride was specifically gifted by God in this area of wisdom. Even the Lord Jesus himself emphasizes that the queen of the south traveled at great lengths just to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And most would think of Solomon as the wisest man to ever live aside from the Lord Jesus Christ. Some may know Solomon as king, the one who took the throne shortly after David his father. Some may know Solomon, he is as the son of Bathsheba, the adulteress that David pursued. Some may know him for his outstanding number of wives, 700 and 300 concubines. But most know Solomon for his writings in the book of Proverbs. Many people read a proverb a day with the corresponding day, and these short, powerful lines, so beautifully written, have captivated the hearts of many around the world. I've often heard Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 quoted by many Christians, encouraging others to trust God for direction in their lives. It also serves as a warning of leaning to our own understanding, which will cause us to fall into the deceitfulness of sin and bring us harm that we could have avoided. I'm sure there are some here who've committed at least one verse from the book of Proverbs to your memory. And the reason being, this book is filled with wisdom, many practical truths that can help us live very content, satisfied lives while also helping us avoid potential danger. As we read the book of Proverbs, we must have this understanding. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." This book deals with a variety of topics such as choosing friends, relationships, minding your own business, being content, being faithful, deception, and using words carefully, because they can either strengthen and help or damage and hurt others. This book also speaks of pride. He specifically speaks of pride 6 times, and we're going to look at those tonight. But before we do, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter number 1, and then we'll pray. Proverbs chapter verse chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So let's not err on the side of the fool, but let's take heed to God's instruction concerning pride. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we look at these scriptures, I pray that you would reveal in us pride. I pray that you would help us, God, to humble ourselves and repent of our pride. We see it in others, but God, help us tonight see it in ourselves, that we would repent and we would have a humble spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, turn to Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 13. Proverbs 8, verse number 13. Proverbs 8, verse 13, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Well, what is evil? Say the next word, please.
Pride.
Thank you. "And arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We live in a society that celebrates what God hates. Pride is promoted as good when God says it is evil. Pride means to have an inordinate self-esteem. It means to have an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority and talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office. It can also be a rude treatment of others. It excites boasting. People march in the street and wave their pride flag because they're proud of their sexuality. They're proud of their inclusivity. They're proud of their safe spaces. They're proud of their mental illness. They're proud of their ignorance of basic education. And they're proud of their rebellion and defiance against God. But God hates pride. But not just in them. God hates pride, period. So let's be careful, because we can be proud of our musical ability. We can be proud of our standards. We can be proud of our separation. We can be proud of where we do not go. We can be proud of the way that we serve the Lord as opposed to others. And we can be blood-washed saints on our way to heaven, and God hates pride in us. To be arrogant is another form of pride. It is to be haughty, to give one's self an undue degree of importance. It's to think that you're the most important person in the room, and then when you leave the room now depreciates in its value because you're not there anymore. The idea is the guy that is incredibly talented in sports, and he knows he is good, and he lets everyone know how good he really is. Celebrating accomplishments are not wrong, but when you're recognized, you're not supposed to be lifted up in pride. And when you serve the Lord, it should be about serving the Lord and not about how well you preached or how many gospel tracts you gave out or the ministries that you participate in. It should be about the Lord. Instead of looking for opportunities to talk about what you have done or what we have done, we should look for opportunities to talk about what the Lord has done. But sadly, in Proverbs 20, verse 6, we read the following: most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 11, verse number 2. Proverbs 11, verse number 2. The Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. So what we just read is shame follows pride. Well, let's get a New Testament example of that. Look in Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14, verse number 7. Luke 14, verse number 7. Luke 14, verse 7 says, "And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So the Pharisees, they were often brought to shame because of their pride. And hereby Jesus is no different. As he tells this parable to the chief Pharisee, he drives home the point that we are not to assume our position. Just because we have the precepts of religion, we are not to treat people as beneath us in practice. Just because you got saved 2 months ago and you really know the Bible now, that doesn't mean that you know how to be a pastor. It doesn't mean that you know how to run a church. And it doesn't mean that you know how to teach a Sunday school class. But when you're looking for church leadership, one of the things that you should ask, is the candidate a novice? Why? Because in 1 Timothy 3:6, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil." And the downfall of most aspiring men in the ministry are three things: women, money, and pride. But before women and money are ever a part of the discussion, the Holy Ghost says, your number one downfall, young man, if you're aspiring to be in the ministry, will be your pride. The solution for that is Philippians 2:3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." Young man, if God has something for you, just wait on God. In the meantime, humble yourself, serve God, serve others, not to be seen of men, but for the glory of God. Amen. All right, turn to Proverbs chapter number 13. Proverbs chapter number 13, verse number 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13, verse number 10, the Bible says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Contention means strife, or strife in words, or debate, a quarrel, an angry contest, controversy. The book of Galatians tells us that strife is a work of the flesh. It starts off with a drop, and then it becomes continual. Proverbs 19, verse 13 says, "A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping." If you're always looking for a fight, you're proud. If you get a thrill from going back and forth with someone for your own amusement, you're proud. If you enjoy debating and stirring up strife, you're proud. If you are the person who is always trying to start something, you're proud. Proverbs 17, verse 14 says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. If a body of water is flowing one direction and you divert the water a different direction by digging a trench, at first it may seem like it's no big deal. But you see the water slowly coming down the path that you created. But as you meddle with it and widen the path and remove the barriers of resistance, the water flows more rapidly. And now it's out of your control and you can't stop it. Titus 3 verse 9 says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. We're warned of those who would seek to stir up strife in a church concerning obscure doctrinal issues that don't even pertain to them. How should we respond to such pride? We should avoid it, humble ourselves, leave off contention, and do not meddle with it. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14, verse number 3. This is embarrassing. I'll call you back later, Mom. Let me cut this off. Hold on. This is really bad when the preacher has to do this. Thank you, Bernard, for that. I am a sinner. Proverbs 14, verse number 3. The Bible says, can we just enjoy that moment for a second, please?
That's probably going to be an issue.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 14, verse 3. The Bible says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. What is this rod of pride? It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor of how the tongue is used as a weapon to hurt other people. You know, if I took a bat or any one of these instruments and I just began to beat Bernard for calling me a sinner, well, some of us would be like, yeah, go ahead and keep doing that. But really, if you love Bernard and care about Bernard, you would say, I can't believe he would do something like that. How come we don't think that same way about our mouths? Do you have proud speech? Do you use your words to be degrading, rude, harsh, or mean to others? You may say, oh, preacher, I don't do that. Well, how about when they get your order wrong? You just have to give them a piece of your mind. How about when you get cut off in traffic? How about when things don't go your way? And do you speak to others in a derogatory way because you do so to make yourself feel better? You know what that is? That's pride. That's pride. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The same word used to describe an emotion we feel when a loved one dies is the same way the Holy Ghost feels when we use our tongues to hurt others. Are we too proud to say, I was wrong, I should not have spoken to you that way, I'm sorry? Are we too proud to forgive someone who has hurt us? The Holy Ghost would have us to put away the bitterness and put away the wrath and put away the anger and the clamor and put away the evil speaking with all malice and put away the sword, Proverbs 12:18, and pick up kindness, Proverbs 31:26, and put grace on your lips, Proverbs 22:11, and use your tongue to bring healing to other people, Proverbs 12:18, and to put away the rod of pride. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 18. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. The word haughty means proud or disdainful, proceeding from excessive pride, bold. I've walked down the halls of nursing homes and spoken with many men and women in the last days and the latter years of their life. Of those people, one particular person comes to mind. It was a Catholic lady. I don't remember her name, but I remember what she said. I spoke with her for a few minutes and began to preach the gospel to her. And she said she was Catholic and she believed all that stuff. But however, whenever I pressed her for a clear testimony of salvation, she had no such testimony. When I began to read her John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. She said Jesus was not the only way to heaven. I told her if she believed that, she would go to hell. I pleaded with her one more time at a later date to trust Jesus Christ as her Savior. But she told me to leave and she never wanted to see me again. Well, two weeks later, she died. And based upon what she said about Jesus Christ, she went to hell. You know what that is? Pride. I met a man just a few weeks ago. Brother Nathan was with me. He said, I'm God manifest in the flesh. You know what that is? Haughty. I met someone one time who said, I'm 83 years old and I've never done anything wrong my whole life. You know what that is? That's pride and haughty. Pride says, I know better than God. A haughty spirit says, well, what does that preacher know? There's God's many and Lord's many and there's many denominations and what about this church, Father? And don't you know there's hypocrites in the church? And you know that Bible says, thou shalt not judge. But the proud go on with the lifted head. And the haughty spirit, and boast all you may, but destruction awaits you. And laugh all you want, and mock all you want, but you will face the same demise as the rich man who lifted his eyes in hell, being in torments, and who cried out for one drop of water to cool his tongue. The proud and the haughty, they will laugh no more. They will weep and they will gnash at their teeth, and they will fall as the chaff falls to the floor. They will fall as Lucifer fell from heaven. They will fall as the house built upon the sand. Deuteronomy 32 verse 35 says, their foot shall slide in due time. Be not deceived. Proverbs 15:25 says this, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Lastly, turn to Proverbs 29 verse 23. Proverbs 29 verse number 23. Proverbs 29:23. The Bible says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Many of you know that I went on a summer internship a couple years ago, and I was out in Pennsylvania, and I had done something I'd never done to this scale. I've done ropes courses before, but there was a rope course at the Promised Land Camp, and Riley's laughing because she already knows this story. But so this rope course is called the Widowmaker. And so, yeah, exactly. It's called the Widowmaker, and there are three levels, if I remember correctly. There's the beginner, the intermediate, and the professional level, I guess. And, I had never even done the beginner, and I thought, well, I was a professional, so I'm going to go on and do the Widowmaker. I'm going to go up to the top. And as I was going on the second level there, I saw Pastor Steve Boots. And some of you know Brother Boots. And, Brother Steve Boots, he met me along the way. He said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to Widowmaker. I'm going to set records, man, and I'm going to beat that thing, and I'm going to conquer that challenge. And he just laughed, and okay. Well, I went up to the Widowmaker, and I got strapped in, got my harness on and everything. And as I was looking, it didn't seem that far away until I started. As I was going on the ropes, all the strength in my upper body began to deplete. And you know that verse that talks about panting after the water brooks? That's what I was doing up there. It was hard to breathe up there. And the sweat was dropping off of my face. And as I was looking down, Pastor Boots and some other friends were down there laughing at me. And I was about halfway across, and I said, a part of me was like, man, I got to prove them wrong. But my body was telling me that's not going to happen. And so I quit, and I, came back, and I took the steps down. I was prideful, but I was brought low. And I went and told Brother Boots, I said, that ropes course really humbled me. And he began to laugh again. I'd like to show you some men in the Bible. Just scanning through. We're not going to turn to these places. But I just want to show you some people who were lifted up in pride. They were brought low. Cain, he was humbled when God didn't have respect to his offering. Genesis chapter number 4. Goliath was humbled by David in 1 Samuel 17. The prophets of Baal were humbled when Elijah prayed and the fire fell, 1 Kings 18. Manasseh was humbled and cried out to God in his affliction, 2 Chronicles 33:1-13. King Nebuchadnezzar was humbled by God and became a beast in Daniel chapter 4. David was humbled to repentance in Psalm 51. The rich man was humbled when he lifted his eyes in hell, Luke 16:19-31. And Peter was humbled when the cock crew, Matthew 26:57-75. Well, the Lord Jesus, he was greater than Solomon, and he had every reason, and rightfully so, to be proud, but he was not. The Lord Jesus, he humbled himself and was born of a virgin, Matthew chapter 1. He humbled himself by subjecting himself to his parents, Luke 2:49-52. He humbled himself to be baptized of John in Matthew chapter 3 verse 13-17. He humbled himself to be a missionary to the country of the Gadarenes in Mark chapter 5. He humbled himself to be a carpenter where he learned to put broken things back together. Mark 6:3. He humbly wept at the death of his friend John, chapter number 11. He humbled himself by attending synagogue on the Sabbath day, and as his custom was, he listened to men teach his book. Luke 4:16-32. He humbled himself to tend to all of those that were sick. Matthew 8:16. He humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant. Mark 10:45. He humbled himself and washed his disciples' feet. John 13:5. He humbled himself in the garden of Gethsemane and submitted himself to his Father's will. Luke 22:42. He humbled himself as the Lamb of God and was led as a sheep to the slaughter and opened not his mouth. John chapter 1:27 and Isaiah 53:7. He humbled himself by laying his life down on the cross for us. John chapter 10:18. But while on the cross, the Lord Jesus was tempted to be prideful. He was tempted to be prideful. Look in Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew 27:42, the Bible says, He saved others. Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. At that moment, while Jesus was hanging there on the cross for our sins, He was tempted to be prideful. He could have put Himself ahead of everyone else. But no, it's not what he did. Philippians 2:3 says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So what Jesus did in that moment is he put all of us ahead of himself. Amen. And he willingly died for us there on that cross. Pride never entered his heart. Humble. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Philippians 2, verse number 5. The Bible says, Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus died a humble death. John 19:30. Jesus was laid in a lowly grave. Luke 23:50-56. But on the third day, death was humbled by victorious resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. Jesus triumphantly rose from the dead. Philippians 2, verse 9, and here's what God did for him as his son humbled himself. The Bible says, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All the mockers, the scoffers, the atheists, the drunks, the rebels, the liars, the thieves, and all the children of pride will humbly bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we too will bow the knee in total humility. Pride will be no more. There will be no more strife, and there will be no more contention, and there will be no more self-exaltation. And by the time we get to the end of the book of Revelation, the king of all the children of pride, he shows his ugly head one last time. And when he's loosed from the bottomless pit, by pride he seeks control. By pride he gains a following. And in pride he rises up against the superior power. And he too and all his followers will be humbled and brought down low to the fiery depths of the lake of fire. Amen. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. Revelation 20, verse number 10. The Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When all the dust is settled and the last judgment is given, the one who will receive all honor is the one who was humble in spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, who was humble in spirit, and who is our great example. Pray, God, that you'd help us be more like him. In Jesus' name, amen.